Yeah, Mishnayis Bava Kama. We're up to Perek Chi, the ninth Perek. Mishnalef. Ha-goizel eitzim, if somebody steals eitzim, wood, the Yasorin Kalim, and the Gadla now makes it into a kli, makes it into a pot, a cup. Tzemer, somebody steals wool, the Yasol Begodim, and from this wool you make it into clothing. Tzalochur is Mishalem Keshasek Zela. You have to pay how much the wood or how much the wool was worth at the time when you stole it. In other words, you do not have to return now the kli or the begodim, because it's called a shinui. A gazlin is kono b'shinui, and therefore you only have to pay the value how much it was worth at the time when you stole it. Gozal pora muberes v'yoda. Let's say you steal a pregnant pora, and then she gives birth by the gazlin, or else rochel tuna u'gzoza. You steal a sheep that's full of wool, and then you shear off the wool. So locheriz mishalem de meipora hoimedes leilet. That first of all, you still have to return the pora that you stole. You still have to return the rocho that you stole. It's still called kain shegozel. This is not called the shinui. Just the fact that it gave birth, and therefore you still have to return it. But the question is though, when you return it though, it's not worth as much as it was when you made the geneva. So therefore you have to pay how much money the pora was worth then when it was pregnant, or how much the rocha was worth then at the time when it was loaded with wool. In other words, the actual vlad and the actual wool that you shared off, that the gazlan has a right to keep. That's like a kinyan shinui. Just the actual animal he has to return, and he also has to pay how much was worth more then than it is worth now. Gozal poro v'nisabra etzloi v'yolda. Let's say Reuven stole somebody's cow, and by the gazlin, by Reuven, it became pregnant, and it gave birth by the gazlin. Or else Rochel, somebody stole a sheep, v'nitano etzloi, and it grew wool when it was by him, or gzoza, and then you shed off, you cut off the wool. So locheriz mishalem keshasek zela. You have to pay how much the cow or how much the rocha was worth at the time when you made the gzela. And the mirror explains that here the gazlan could keep the poro. He can keep the rocha. This is called a shino. This is called something different happened to it after the gzela. The fact it became pregnant by you, that's called a shino. And the fact that it was nitano, now that it grew on wool, that's called a shino. Therefore, you only have to pay how much it was worth b'shas gzela. And ze'aklal, this is the general rule, that kol agaz lonim mishalim k'shas gzela. Anytime you make a gzela, you have to pay back how much it was worth b'shas at the time of the gzela.
Mishneh Beis. Gozal behema v'hiskina. Somebody stole an animal, and by the gazlan it became old. The animal became old. Avodim viskinu, somebody stole somebody's evet, an evet kinani, and by the gazan it became old. Zalocheriz mishalom kashasek zela. But you have to pay how much it was worth at the time when you sold it. In other words, the tanakam old, this is called the shinui, it's called the animal or the evet changed, and therefore the gazan is supposed to keep it, and he has to pay back to the owner how much it was worth when it was young. Rabbi Meir says, if you stole somebody's evid, he holds an evid, is hookish for kakois, and therefore it's really, it's ain't an exelis. The gazlan does not have a real kinyan in the evid, and therefore it's always considered still in the reshus of the original owner, and therefore it's called it became older in his reshus. Therefore the gazlan has a right to return the evid and say, here it is, this is your evid, it's not mine. What's going to be Gozal Matadeya v'nistak? Reuven stole somebody's coin, and by the Gazlan Nistak it cracked, so it can't be used now. Or else Peirus, you stole fruits, v'akirvu, and it rotted by the Gazlan. Yain, you stole wine, v'hechmetz, became sour by the Gazlan. So this is called the Shinui. The Gazlan's supposed to keep it, and Mishalem Keshasek Zela, he has to pay back to the Nigzal, to the one he stole from, how much it was worth at the time when he stole it. So he has to pay back the money. Matbeya v'nifsal, Let's say you stole a coin from somebody, and now the nifsal means that the government changed the coins. You can't use it. There's no currency with it now. Truma v'nitmas. Let's say you stole somebody's truma, and then it became tamei by the gazlin, or else chametz for overall of a Pesach. You stole somebody's chametz before Pesach, and you did not return it after Pesach. Or else behema, you stole somebody's animal. V'nev de bo'avera, and now the gazlin did an avera to it. Either worshipped the avodah zarah with it, or else he was ravei, he lived with it. Oy shenifs lo miyagav yemizbech, or else something happened to it that it became postal, it can't be used for mizbech. There is a mum that you can't see the mum was nailed on it. Oy shoyz so yoytzes lisokel, or else let's say by the gazlin, the shor now killed a man. That you're supposed to, the din is, it's a shor haniska, you're supposed to stone the shor. So in all these cases, oimaloi, the gazlin has the right to say back to the nigzal, hareshel cholafonecho, here this is your shor, take it back, I don't have to pay. There's all these things that considered a hezek shena nikur. If you look at the actual object, you do not see anything wrong with it. Like a matbeya of an ifsal, the coin itself looks the same way it looked before. Even though now you can't use it, that's called the Hezek Shena Nikr. And we hold that Loi Shemai Hezek, for Gazlin at least. Therefore, since the object looks the same way when it was stolen, the Gazlin has a right now to say back to the owner, here it is, keep it, and he's potter from paying him money.
Yeah, Mishnah Gimel. Nosan Leumnin Lesakin. Let's say he gives something to a workman to fix it. In other words, you give a kli to be fixed by the workman, and the kukulu, he ruins it for you. So locher is chayovim l'shalim. The workman has a loch like a gazlin, and he has to pay back to you the dimei hakli, how much the kli was worth. Nosan l'chorish, let's say you give to a carpenter a shido, that's let's say a box, a wooden box, or else teva, that's a chest, or else omigdol, a type of a closet, let's say l'sakin, you give him these things to fix, the kukulu, and he just ruins it. So again, chayav l'shalim, Newman, the workman, has to pay you for the kli, how much it was worth at the time when you gave it to him. Now here really we paskin that umen is eino kerne shvach kli. That means let's say you gave the umen some wood to make it into a chest, and he already made it into a chest, and then he broke it, so he'll have to pay you how much the chest was worth, because when he made it, it still belongs to the owner. Now when he breaks it, he's called the gazlin now, so he has to pay how much it was worth at the time when he broke it. V'yabanoi, let's say he gives something to a builder. She'kibul olav lister es akoisel, you called the builder, and you asked him to knock down this wall of yours. V'shibul es havonim, and when he's breaking down the wall, he also breaks the stones. Or else oishihizik, or else it does damage when it comes down. So chayav l'shalim, the builder has to pay, because he accepted upon himself, to watch it, he should not do any damage. What's going to be, hoyisoysa mitzad zeh, he was knocking down the wall from one side. V'nofo mitzad achar, then some stones fell off from the other side by mistake as an onus, and it did damage, so then potter, then he's potter, because that's called an onus. But v'mach mishamaka chayav, if it came down because of the hit, the way he hit the wall, he should have known that the stones would fall down on the other side, and then he's chayiv. That he should have thought about, here is not called an oinus. Mishnah Dalet. Ha noisein semel atzava. Somebody gives wool to a dyer. Vehi dachtoi yoira. And the dyer now, like, burnt it. He put the dyer in there, used to burn it up, used to boil it up in the pot with the dye, and by mistake now he burnt it. The dyer has to pay back to the owner how much the wool was worth at the time when he took it. Let's say he dyed it, but he did a bad job. He didn't use quality dye. He made it look worse. So kor means worse. So if the value now, like still the wool is worth now more than it was worth before, so if the extra value that it's worth now is more than the itziah, the actual dye that the dye is spent, is nice and less itziah,
All the owner has to pay back to the dyer is only the amount for the dye. In other words, the owner gains on the deal. Let's say the dye, he spent $2 worth of dye, and he only made the wool worth a dollar more. The shvach, it only became a dollar's worth more. So really, it's a beer deal. So in such a case, the owner only has to pay back to the dyer the $1 that it got worth more. In other words, the owner does not lose out, it's only the dyer that loses out. What's going to be litzboya loy odom? You gave your wool to a dyer to dye it red, litzboya shocher. And not only did he do a bad job, but he changed the color, he made it into black. Well, the opposite way, shocher, you told him to dye it black, utzva odom, and he dyed it red. So Rabbi Meir says, noisun loy de meitzamer. Rabbi Meir says, kol ha-mishana, you consider the gazlin, and therefore you only have to pay back the value of the tzemer, how much it was worth when you took it. Rabbi Yudu says, no, you're not called the gazlin here. And therefore, yad balabayas al-hol yoyna. And therefore, im ha-shvach yeser al-yitziyom. If the shvach, as you made this dye now worth, let's say, $5 more than it was worth before, and the dye, you only spent $2 worth of dye. So therefore, noisun leyes yitziya, the owner only has to pay the dye the $2 he spent for the dye. V'yim ha-yitziya yiseir al-shvach. Let's say the yitziya is worth more than the shvach, as he spent $2 on the dye, and he only made the wool worth a dollar more. So then, noisun leyes ha-shvach, the owner only has to pay the dyer the dollar that it was made better. Mishnehei, ha-goizel es chaveroi shava pruta. Somebody steals from his friend a shava pruta, something that's worth a pruta. V'nishpaloi, and the gazlan swears to the person that he did not steal it. And then later we find out that really he did steal it. So locher is that you chayev to pay back a keren, v'chaymish, and a korban oshem. When you have to pay back the money, there's a special halacha now that yoylichenu achrov. You yourself now have to take the object, take the money, and give it back to the person that you stole from, afilu lamodai. Even if the person is far away from you, he's in modai, still you have to go and give it to him. Whereas you do not have a kaporo until you go all the way there and give it to him. And the Rambam says the reason is because since you first swore that you did not owe it to him, the owner like was miyayish, he's not going to come and ask it for from you anymore. So therefore the din is you have to go to him now and you have to make sure he receives it. Now, lo yiten lo levnoi v'lo lishluchai, you're not allowed to give it to his son or to his shliach, but you have to make sure to give it to him directly. Avonoisen l'shliach bezdin, but you're allowed to give it over to a shliach, a messenger that bezdin made, that's okay. They could give it over in your name. V'yemeis, let's say the nigzal, the owner, dies. You did not get a chance to give it back to him yet. So then the lachur is yachsal yorshev. Then the lachur is you have to return it to the yorshim, to the people that yarshin him, that inherit the father. Mishnevov, nosan loyes a keren. Let's say the gazlin returned the keren. He stole, let's say, a kli worth $10. And he paid him back $10. But he did not pay back the extra fifth. There's a case where first he swore that he did not take it, and later the gazlan admits that yes, he did steal it. So he's chayav to pay keren and an extra fifth. So let's say he did not return the fifth yet. Or else, mochel loy ala keren, let's say the owner was mochel, freed him from paying back the keren, but mochel loy ala chaymish, he did not free him, he still has to pay back the chaymish. Let's say the owner was meichel on both the keren and the chaimish. Chutz mipochus mishava pruta v'keren. Only less than a shava pruta of the actual keren, the capital that he still owes, that he was not meichel. So it comes out he only owes less than a shava pruta. So then the locher is einu tzarech lechachrov. You do not have to go after the person to return him. In other words, just to return the chaimish, the fifth. Or else a part of the keren, which is less than a shava pruta, you do not have to make the chazorah, you do not have to return it yourself. What's going to be the opposite of the way? Let's say nosan leyes hachaymish, you paid the fifth, but nosan leyes hakeren, you did not pay the keren. Or else mochel el hachaymish, you was mochel the chaymish, but mochel el hakeren is not mochel the keren. or else mochel lo yalzeh v'yalzeh, he's mochel on both of them. Chutz mishava pruta b'keren, left over a shava pruta, you still owe a shava pruta's worth from the keren. In other words, b'kitza, you still owe at least a shava pruta to him from the capital, from the actual kli that you stole, the value of that kli. So an alocher is sorach lelechachrov. You have a chiyav hashavam, and you have to go after him, even though it only means to return this one shava pruta. But you do not have your kapara until you make sure all the keren is taken care of.
Mishnah Zayin. Nosan lo yesakeren. Again, the same case where somebody stole, and then he swore that he did not, and then he admitted, so he has to pay keren v'chemish. Let's say the gazlan paid now back the keren. And again, v'nish palel ala chemish. And now the question was, did he pay the extra fifth? So the gazlan said, yes, I paid it up already. And he swore that he paid it up. And then he admitted that he did not pay the chemish. Now it's considered like he made a new gzela on this chemish. So he has to pay back the chemish, but there is the keren. And he has to pay back a fifth for this fifth. Achi yismayet ha-keren pochus m'shava pruta. Until it comes down that the keren is worth less than a shava pruta. In other words, if the taina that you stole the money, how much you stole is less than a shava pruta, so on that there's no din gezel. You do not have to pay back a chemish. In other words, like the last chemish that you have to pay, if that's going to be less than a shava pruta, so when you kaifa, when you deny it, like you say you paid it up, and really you do not, and you swear false, so since you're swearing on something that's less than a shava pruta, you do not have a chiyuv to pay back the keren and the chemish on it. Now the Mishnah says, v'chein b'pikodin. The same halacha applies by pikodin. If I give you something to watch, and later I say, give it back to me, and you say, I gave it to you, and you swear to it, and later we find out that no, you still have it, so again, you have to pay back a keren b'chemish. Shneim the pasuk says, b'pikodin, oy b'seshumas yod, oy b'gozel, oy o shak esamisoy, oy motzo aveda v'chichesh bo, v'nishpal shoker. In all these cases, if you swear false that you say you do not have the person's money, and really you have, whether it's a pikodin, something you're supposed to watch, or whether it's a halvor, or whether it's gezel, or what's the money you owe, in all these cases, it's harezer mishalem kerim v'chemish v'yoshem. You also have to bring a korban oshem. What's going to be heichin pikodoni? Reuven comes to Shimon and says, "Listen, I gave you my pikodin. I gave you something to watch. Where is it?" Omaloi. So the Shomer answers him back and says, "Ovad, it was lost." And the locher is a Shomer chinam. If you do not get paid, you're potter if it was lost. So the owner says, "Mashbiachani, I want you to swear, and I'll swear for you, like I'll put the shvu upon you." The Omer Omen, and the Shomer says, "Omen, yes." So it's considered like he swore now that he lost the pikodin. And later what happened was, v'edim midinoi soy sha'achaloi, edim come and tell us, we saw the way the Shomer himself used up the pikodin. So mishalom keren, in such a case, he has loch like a gazlin, and he has to pay back the keren. But he's potter from chemish v'yosham, since he himself did not admit. What's going to be later, hoidim yatzmoi? Let's say the Shomer himself comes and admits that he swore false before, and really he himself used the pikodin. So then the locher is, mishalem keren v'chemish b'yosham. Here's the locher, you have to pay back the keren, an extra fifth, and a korban osham, because you made the shvuas shaker, you swore false. Mishnah Ches. What's going to be heichon pikodoni? Again, the owner comes back to the Shomer chinam, and says, where's the pikodin? I gave you something to watch, the pound of apples. Where are they? Omar loy. So the Shomer enters back and says, nignav, it was stolen from me. And the Shomer chinam is potter on nignav. So mashbiach ani, the owner says, I want you to swear. The yomer omen, he says, yes, he like swears. So, and then, v'yeidim midinoy soyshe gonvoy, edim come and say that the Shomer himself is the one that stole it, he himself has it. So locher is now mishalom tashlum kefil. That's a chiddush over here, that the Shomer has to pay back kefil, even though he did not really make a maisa geneva, because it was in his rishus anyway,
But that's a chiddush gzeras akosiv, that if a shomer wants to free himself by toyin tainas nignav, he says it was stolen from him, so that alone makes him like a ganif, that he has to pay back kefil. What's going to be hoyde miyatzmoy? Let's say the shomer admits by himself that he himself swore false, and really he himself has it. So the locher is mishalim keren, he only has to pay keren, but kefil is potter, because kefil is a kenas, and moyde bekenas is potter. But instead, Mishalom Keren v'chemish v'yoshem, he has to pay back a chemish and a carbon oshem because of the shvua sheker, because he swore false. Mishneh tes ha'goizel es oviv, that is, somebody stole from his father, and v'nishpaloi, so the father comes to the son and says, I want you to swear that you did not steal. The son says he did not steal, and the son says, okay. The son swears that he did not steal from his father. V'meis, and then the father dies. The locher is Hareze Mishalem Kerim V'Chaimish Lebonov Oiliyechov. As later the son admits that really he stole and really he swore false, so the son has a chiv to pay back a Kerim V'Chaimish V'Yoshem. So does he pay it to? He pays it back Lebonov Oiliyechov. He pays it back to the sons of his father. In other words, his real brothers. Oiliyechov versus his father's brothers. Those the people that Yashin, the father, he has to pay it back to them. V'yemeina roitza, let's say he does not want to pay back right now, because he doesn't want to lose out his chelik in the Yerushas Aviv, but he deserves a portion in the Yerusha of his father. Oishain loy, or else let's say he does not have it in the chosin now, he doesn't have anything what to pay back with. So locher is loyva, he has a right to borrow money from other people connected to gzela. Then the Baal Chayv comes and they collect this money. So in other words, it's like this. Again, the son stole from his father and he swore false, and later he admits. So he has to pay back now the whole Keren V'Chaymish to the Yorshim of the father. Even though really he deserves to be a Chelek, he's also a Yerush, he deserves to get a portion of it. So really he should not have to pay back all the money, because he's a Yerush himself. But that's halacha, no, since he needs a kapara, he needs a forgiveness. Since he made this gzela and he swore false, so the only way he has a kapara is if he makes a maisa shava, he has to pay back the whole Karen and the whole chaymish. That's the Iker Adin. But let's say now we're saying, if he made a reitza that the son still feels bad, he doesn't want to lose out his chelik in the Yerusha. Like, true, he has to pay back a Karen v'chaymish, but he feels like he still wants to get a part of it because he's also a Yerush. Or else, in the case where he doesn't have the money, so the Rabbana made a special takona here, like this is a takona that he has a right to borrow money from somebody else. He borrows $1,000, and that $1,000 he pays up, he gives it to the other sons. Like, he pays up the gzela. But then the Baal Chayv, when they come and collect, they have a right to collect, like, not all the money back from the gazlan, from the son that stole, but connected his portion of the Yerusha, he collects his money back from the other brothers. And this is like the takon, the chom will make all over here, the type of haroma, as if to say that this son, the gazlan, does not lose out his portion in the Yerusha. There's as much money as he would have yashin from his father, that much money, when the Baal Chayv comes to collect, they come to collect that amount of money from the other brothers, from the Torah's Yerusha. And like we said, this is a special takon that Chama made, that even though really do not have a right to collect this much money, but still we make it easy for this son that will be able to collect the money that his chelik, his Yerusha, he would not have to lose out. Mishnah Yud. If a father says to his son that koinem iyatu nene mishali, I'm making like an issa neder, you cannot have any enjoyment from what belongs to me. So the locher is in mace. Let's say the father dies, then yirashenu, then the son yarshins his father. In other words, the neder is only calls the man, the father is alive, the son cannot have enjoyment from his property. When the father dies, like it doesn't belong to him anymore, so therefore now a yerusha takes place, the son has a right to enjoy it after the father dies. What's going to be if the father said, "B'chayev uvamaisai, I do not want you to have any enjoyment from my property when I'm alive," and after he dies? So then the halacha is the mesa, the father dies, lo yirishenu. The son like does not yarshin his father because the nechosim are also b'hano, it's also for him to have enjoyment. So Mefarshim, the Miri speaks out that really the son yarshins it, and the din Torah is he yarshins it, just he cannot have any enjoyment from it. So therefore the halacha is v'yachse lebon of Eliyachiv. He has to give the property back to his brothers. Labonav means the father's sons. Eliyachiv rests to the father's brothers. In other words, to somebody else, but not to this son. V'yimein loy. Let's say this son now does not have any money, and he has no money, so he can't just give away this Yerusha. Therefore, Leiva, one answer is, again, let him borrow money, let this son, that the father made an Issa Neder not to have any enjoyment from him, let this son now borrow some money, and therefore, Bali Chayv is Boyim v'Nefroyim. Now the Bala Chayvis, they'll come to collect their Chayv, they'll come to collect the debt that the son owes them, they'll be able to collect his debt from the Yerusha. In other words, it's not called a direct Hano from the Yisuri Hano, true, the property is also Hano to the son, but that's halacha, the Mishnah says, you make an Yisuri Hano, still you're allowed to pay up his Chayvis, his debts, this is called an indirect Hano. And this is muta even by Yisuri Hano. Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hagoizeles Hager. Let's say somebody steals from a ger, and he doesn't have any yorshim. V'nishpaloi. And he swore that he did not steal. V'meis. Then the ger dies, and there's no yorshim. And this person admits now, he's moida, that he stole and swore false from the ger. So loch riz, he's mechuyiv to pay a keren v'chaymish. But usually you have to pay back to the person you, like, swore false to. Here the person died and there's no yorshim. So how do you have your kapara? So the Mishnah says, HaRezim Mishalom Keren V'Chaymish L'Kahanim. There's a special posik that the Tashlumim, the kapara is, if you give the money to the Kain that's there in that time, in the Mishmar of that time. Shinemar is a posik in Bamidbar that says, V'Yimein L'Ish Goyil, if a person has no person to yarshin him, therefore the person that stole and swore false has no one to return the money to. So Oshem Hamushav Lashem LaKoyin, it says that the money that you return should go to the Koyin. Milvad Elakipur Mashechapaboyalov, besides the Korban Oshem that you have to bring. So it says clearly that if you have no person to give the money to, you give it to the Koyin. What's going to be Hoyimales Akesev Vesoshem? In other words, this person that stole and swore false to the ger, and then the ger died, so the eighth of the Mishnah says is to bring the money to the Kohen. So let's say this person now, this Goslin now, is about to give the money and to bring his korban to the Kohen, Vomes, and this person dies now on the way up to Yerushalayim. So Lachar is HaKesev Yinosan Labonov. The money remains with his own children. In other words, they have no chiv to give a kapara for the father. Since their father died, therefore they have no chiv to give a kapara for the father, they can keep the money. But the oshim, this korban oshim that the father set aside, yirachi yistoiv, let it pasture in the fields until it becomes a balmum, and then, v'yimocher, you could sell it, v'yiplu domal zunadova, and the money you receive you have to give back to bring a korban nadova on the mizbech. Now, Mishnah Yud Beis. What's going to be Nosan es hakesef liyanshe mishmer, like this gazlin that stole from the ger. Now when he's doing tshuva, he brought the money and gave it to the yanshe mishmer, gave it to the kohen of that mishmer, v'meis, and then the person died. So locher is, and the gazlin died before he brought his korban. So locher is, ein ha-yorshim yechodum lehitzim yodim. The yorshim have no right to take away this money from the kohen. Shinemar Pasuk says, Isha Shiitin La Koyin Loyiya, that as soon as the father, the Gazlin, gives it to the Koyin, they deserve it, they have a right to keep it. To Yorshim, the sons cannot take it away from the Koyin. What's going to be Nosan HaKesev LiYoyoruf, V'Yorshim LiDayo, that the father, when the Gazlin came to the Beis Hamikdash, he gave the money to the Mishmer of Yoyoruf, and he gave the Korban Oshem to the Mishmer of Yayodah. Now Yoyoriv, that's the first Mishmer. They take care of things first. And after that Mishmer, after that week, then comes the second Mishmer
of Yedayo. So it comes out he gave the money to the first Mishmer and the korban to the second one. So Halacha is Yotza, Yimekayim the Mitzvah. Because that's the Halacha, even if you returned the money first before you brought the korban Hashem, you Yotza, it's okay. What's going to be though the opposite way? Oshom liyoyorev, you gave your korban Hashem to the first Mishmer. Vekesev lidayo, and you first returned the money to the second Mishmer. So it depends. Im kayim Oshom, if the Oshom is still around, they did not bring it yet until you gave the money, then yakrivuhu b'nei yidayo. Then the second Mishmer, when they get the money, when you paid up the money, then they have a right to bring the korban Hashem. But v'yimloi, let's say the first Mishmer, Yoyoriv, they already brought this Korban Oshem. So it comes out the Oshem was brought before the Gazlan returned the money. That's no good. He's not Yotza. Therefore, Yachsev Yovi Oshem Acher, he has to go and buy another, bring another Korban Oshem. Why? Shehamevi Gizeloi, Ashlehevi Yashoma Yotza. If you return the money first before you bring a korban Hashem, that's good, you yotza. But the opposite way, no. Hevi Hashomai. Let's say you brought your korban Hashem first. Actually, hevi gizelei. Before you brought the money, before you returned the money that you stole. Lo yotzi, not mekayim the mitzvah, not mekayim your kapara. What's going to be nosan as a kerem, lo nosan as a chemish, ain't a chemish makif. As long as you return the money, the care and the capital that you stole, even though in this case where you swore false, you also have to pay a chaymish, and let's say you do not pay the chaymish yet, you only paid the keren, and you brought the korban Hashem, you yotza. Because that's the law, ein ha chaymish makiv. The chiv of the chaymish to pay the extra fifth, that does not stop the kapara of the korban. You're allowed to bring your korban Hashem even before you pay the chaymish. The main thing is you have to pay the keren first, and then you can bring a korban Hashem. All right, a turnover. Yeah, Perek Asiri, Mishnalef, Hagoyzel Umaycheles Bonif. If somebody's a gazlin, Reuven steals some food or steals something from Shimon, and then he gives the food tea to his own children, or else Vaniach Lifneim, he leaves over the field in front of his children. And the children eat it up after the father dies. So Halacha is Paturim L'Shalim. These children, even though they had enjoyment from the Gzela, they're potter from paying back. Because they themselves did not steal. Their father is the one that made the Gzela. We're talking about now that the father did not leave over any karka, only metaltlim. So metaltlim that the Yarshim, the sons of Yarshim, are not meshubid. They do not have to pay back from the metaltlim, the movable things they received from the father. But let's say the father left over when he died some carcass, some property. That's called Yesh LeYachrayis, there's responsibility to it. Then Chayovim L'Shalim. Then the sons have to pay back from this property to the Nigzal, the one the father stole from. Because at the time the father stole, his Nechosim, his property that he owned at that time, was Meshuvid to pay back for this Gzela. Now the Mishnah says, "Ein portim loy mitevas hamuchsin." A person is not allowed to exchange money. If you want to give portim, means to exchange a seller or a dinar into prutas. He's not allowed to take the prutas out of a tevas hamuchsin. Muchsin is a tax collector. You can't exchange from his money for loy mikis shokaboyim, and not the wallet where they also collected the money from the taxes. And the Gemara explains because we're afraid that these tax collectors are gazlonim. They steal the money, they take more than they're supposed to, and it's gzela. Therefore, you should not exchange the money there. You're taking money that does not belong to them. And the same thing, v'yei noitle mehem tzedakah. You cannot take from these tax collectors tzedakah, because most probably the money is gzela, stolen goods, and yes, you're not supposed to take stolen goods for tzedakah. Avonoyte lu mitoich beisvei min ashok. But if you meet these people privately in their own house or in the shuk, and you want exchange from their own private money, then it's okay. Their own private money, there we do not say it's gzela. We only say the money they collected for the taxes is gzela, is stolen goods. But their own money they have in the house, or you meet them in the marketplace, their own pocket, that's okay. From that money you could exchange, or from that money you could take for tzedakah. Mishnah Beis.
not loy muchsemes chamori. Let's say the tax collector took away your donkey. Venos no loy chamor achar. And then later he returned you, he gave you back somebody else's donkey. Or else gozlu listemes ksusa. Let's say somebody stole your jacket. Venos no loy ksusa cheres. And then the goslin comes and returns you and gives you back a different jacket. So locharis areel ushloy, you have a right to keep these things. Even though the chur is also stolen goods, the muhsin, the tax collector, stole the chamor from somebody else, or this gazlan for sure stole this coat from somebody else, so why are you allowed to keep it? Because most probably when the muhsin or the gazlan stole it, so the owner was miyash, gave up hope. So it comes out that by the time it comes to you, that's called yish. The original owner gave up hope of getting it back, and there's a shina rishus from the gazlan to you, therefore it's muta. So since here you're taking it for an exchange from the fact he took away yours and it's given you back something else, here you're allowed to accept it. Now hamatzo min hanor, let's say a river is overflowing and coming to destroy something and you come and save it. Or min hagayis, or else let's say an army is going to come to destroy the city and you say something. Or min alistim, or else you say something from robbers. So it depends. In this Yerushua Bailam, if the owner gave up hope of saving up or receiving it, Sarei Lushalai, then you have a right to keep it, because that's called Yish, is Koina, is the Kenyan Yish. Then the Mishnah says, V'chein, the same Allah replies, Nechil Shel Devarim, a swarm of bees, a bunch of bees, in this year. Let's say they go from one person's field into your field. So in this Yerushua Bailam, Arei Lushalai, if you know for sure the first owner was Miyayish, gave up hope of receiving it back, then you're allowed to keep it. And the Chiddush is, even though that even the first owner, you do not really own the bees, it's not something you could grab a hold of. There's only a Kinyan Midrabanan, therefore still the Chiddush is, you could only keep it the second one if you know for sure the first owner was Miyayish, gave up hope of receiving it back. Omer Reb Yechanan ben Brukah, Yechanan ben Brukah says, Nemenes Isha oi Kotten Leimer, that a lady or a Kotten under Bar Mitzvah is believed to say that Mikan Yotze Nechilze, that from this property did this swarm of bees come out. In other words, Gemara says in the case where we see the owner is running after them, he wants them back. He is not Miyayish, so you have to return it to him. So in Isha, a Kotten is believed to say, this person is the first owner, we saw the way these bees came from his field. Now, mahalech b'toich sote chaveroi lihatzeres mechiloi, that you're allowed to go through somebody else's field to save your bunch of bees. If your bees fly through somebody else's field, you're allowed to go through his field to save your bees. But v'im hizik, let's say when you go through the field, you do damage, you destroy his growings there, you destroy the vegetables there, then mishalem hashizik, of course you have to pay for the damage that you caused. Avolo yokotzes soichoi, that if you see your bees went on the other person's branch, went into somebody else's field, and it's on the branch of the tree, you're not allowed to break off the branch. And afilu amanas litines adomim, even though you're doing this and you have intentions to pay back the value of the branch, still you have no right to go and break off the other person's branch. Rabbi Yishmael Benoi, Shor Rabbi Yechon and Bruko Eimer, Af Koitzeitz Benois Nesdomim. He argues and says, no, if you have intentions to pay back the value of the branch, so you have a right to go into your friend's Rishus and break off that branch that has your bees on it. Even though you're a Mazik, but since you're doing it to save your own bees, and you have intentions to pay him back, he holds this is Mutta. And the Pshat is, this is one of the Tanoim, the way Yeshua was Hinchel, Eretz Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael. That they have a right to use somebody else's property to save their bees, but if they do the damage, they have to pay back. Yevishne Gimel, Hamakir Kelev Usvor Biyadacher. Let's say Reuven goes to his friend's house, and he sees the way his friend Shimon has his own Kelim, has his own Svarim. So Reuven says, these are my kelim, these are my svarim. And v'yotzo l'shem gneva beer, it was known before that Reuven had a robbery. So Reuven says, what happened was, the robber must probably sold it to you, Shimon. So lochriz yishov alai halakeach, Kamenosan, Shimon, the one that bought these kalim or these sperm in the store, he has to swear to tell us the price, how much he paid for it. And Vito, so lochar is that Reuven has the right to take these kalim back from Shimon. Just Reuven has to pay the money back to Shimon. This called the Takonis Hashuk. This is the Takon of the Rabbanim made in order to make it easy for Shimon to return the Gzela. The Yimlav, but let's say there was no Edim. We do not know that Reuven had a Gzela. Reuven had a robbery. Then Loi Kolamenu, then we do not believe Reuven to say that Shimon has it or Shimon bought it off the Gazlin. But rather, Shani Yema, we would say maybe that Mechorin Liacha, true, even though Reuven once upon a time owned these kalim, this chair, or owned these svarim, even if he has Edim that he once owned it, but still we'll say what happened was that Reuven himself sold it to somebody because he needed money. And now V'lokhan Zehemenu, and now Shimon came and bought it from that person. So therefore Shimon has a right to keep it. So the only time Shimon has to give it back is if there are Edim, there's a curl that we know Reuven had a robbery before. Mishnah Dalet. Zebo b'chavise shoyayin. One person is walking with a barrel of wine. The zebo b'chavise shodvash. And one person is walking with a kad, a pitcher of honey. Now nistako chavise shodvash. That's the one that's holding the honey. His barrel broke, and it starts to drip out the honey. The shofach zes yena. Now the other person automatically spilled out his wine. Vitzelet devash l'toicha, and he went to save the other person's honey. So lochar is ein lo yelas charoi. All the owner of the devash has to do is just pay the other person the wages for the work that he did to you. You do not have to pay him for the wine that he spilled out, but it's not worse than the poil that's working for you. You have to pay him for the time that he's doing working to save your honey. V'yimam, let's say the person says, atzel es shaloch. Listen, I'll save you your honey, right? Because honey is worth more than the wine. I'll save you your honey, but I want you to pay me the value of my wine. Then, and he says yes, then chayvitalai. Then the other person, the owner of the honey, has to pay this worker for the amount of wine that he lost. Now, shotaf nohor chamoyra v'chamor chaveri. Let's say the river starts to overflow, and it takes away your donkey and your friend's donkey. Now, shaloi yofa mona, your donkey is only worth $100. V'shechaveru masayim, and your friend's donkey is worth $200. So what do? Heniach zeh shaloi, you forget to leave over your donkey. V'tzele shechaveru, you go to save your friend's donkey. So lochur is ein lo yelas charoi. The owner now only has to pay you back for the work that you did. He does not have to pay you for your chamor that you lost. But what? Because he didn't tell you to do it. But the mamala, let's say you say clearly to the other person, "Aniyati leshaloch, Yishno, I'll do you a favor, and I'll go and I'll save your donkey." Biviyato noisin liyeshli, but providing you pay me the $100, how much my donkey is lost was worth. And there's none now. My donkey is drowning, but I'm not going to save mine. I'll save yours because yours is worth more. Then the locher is chayiv litenloi. Since he spoke it out before, now the owner of the $200 chamor has to pay back the other one $100 for his chamor that was lost. Mishnehei, Hagoizel Sode Mechaveroi. Let's say you steal a field from your friend, on the Toluhu Misikin, and then people come from the king and by force take it away from you. So it depends. Im Makas Medinhi, if these Masikim, these government men, are coming to take away the field from everybody, the whole city, so then the Gazlan has the right to say back to the original owner, Harei Shaloch Lefanecho, listen, the field is here, like really Karkazin and Exelis. So therefore, listen, I didn't cause any damage. The field would have been taken away anyway. Therefore, he's parted from paying you. But V'yemach Mes HaGazlan, let's say these government people are only after this Gazlan, they're only taking away his fields, then Chayav Lahamad Lo Yisod Acheres, then this Gazlan is the cause why the field was taken away, that the original owner is going to lose out. Therefore, he's the Sib, he's the Gurim, he has to pay back the original owner the value of the field. What's going to be shot for Nohor? Let's say the river overflowed and ruined the field. Says, Ayim Aloy Haresh Lach Lefanecho. then for sure the Gazlan has the right to say to the owner, listen, it's your field, take it back. I did not cause this to happen, it would have happened anyway. Therefore, we're going to Ikra Din that Gzela, Karkazin, and Gzelis. Therefore, we not have to pay back for Einsin that would have happened by itself. Only this case of Masikin, where they're after you, so you're the cause for him to lose out, therefore you have to pay back. Mishnah Vav. Ha-goizel es chaveroi. Let's say somebody steals from his friend. Oy shalova himenu, or else you borrowed money from your friend. Oy shifchid loy ba-yishuv, or else he gave you something to watch in the yishuv, in the city. So Lachar is, in all these three cases, you have to return something back to that person. So Lachar is, since he gave it to you in the yishuv, in the city, or that's where you stole it, or that's where you borrowed money from him, so Mishnah says, le-yachs loy ba-midvar, you have no right to go and return it to him when he's away from home in the midbar. Person doesn't want to receive the money there, so you have no right to return it to him when he's in the midbar. In other words, he's afraid to receive the money here in the wilderness. Maybe he'll lose it. So therefore, you have no right to return it to him here. But what's going to be a manas lotzeis by midbar? Let's say when you first receive the money, if you borrow the money with pikadin, you made clearly a condition that I can give it back to you, even though you're in the midbar. Then Yasla b'midbar, then Pshiti have right to return it to him, even though he's in the midbar, he's in the wilderness. Mishnah Zayin. Hoy melech haveroi. Somebody says to his friend, Gizal ticho, like I stole from you, or else hilvi sani, you lend me money. Hifkarato etzli, you gave me pikodin, you gave me something to watch of yours. But v'eni yedei im erzarti loch, I'm not sure whether I returned it to you or not. In other words, the Gazlan himself, or the Lover himself, admits that he borrowed or he stole money, but yet they're not sure whether they paid back or not. So in such a loch, a chayav l'shalim, like any day in praticha, since you're admitting that for sure you have a chiyav to pay back, so to suffer whether you're mekayim yechayv or not, therefore you have to pay. Abba, what's going to be in Momoloi, let's say he says like this, any day in gizalticha, I'm not sure that I stole from you at all. Or else, im hilvisani, the Leiber says, I'm not sure if I ever borrowed money from you. Or else, im hifkarato etzli, I'm not sure if you gave me something of yours to watch. So in these cases, potim ilishalim, there's a suffix if there's a chiv altogether for you to pay back. So in the case of any day, im nischayavti, in such a case we say, you're potter from paying back, the other one has to bring a proof of edim to be meitzi mamin from you. Mishneches. Hagoinev tele minu eder, if somebody steals the sheep from somebody's flock, ve'achziroi, and then the Gazlan returns it without telling the owner that he returned it. Vo'meisa nignif, and then this tele, the sheep, dies or was stolen the second time, sechayev achriusai, the first Gazlan is still chayev achriusai. We're talking about in a case where the owner realized that it was stolen. Since he realized it was stolen, it's not called Hashav, it's not called you returned it, until you notify the owner. The owner does not know that it's returned. It's not called you made a good Hashava. Therefore, if something happens to it, you're still Chayif. What's going to be though, lo yodo habayadam loy b'gnev osoy, for loy b'chazir osoy? In other words, you returned the animal, the Gazlan returned it before the Bailam even found out that it was stolen. So the owner does not even realize that it was stolen, and he does not realize that it was returned. In such a case, and the case is umono esatzoinu shleimhi, that the owner came the next day and counted his flock for the first time now and saw nothing is missing, so he did not know anything, and then a Gazlan steals it, a second Gazlan, or else it dies, then potter, then the first Gazlan is potter. Since the owner did not know about the Gzela, so therefore, since it was back already and he counted them, that's considered like a good hashava, and therefore if something new happens, you're potter. It's not on your achrayus anymore. Since two things happened, since the owner did not realize it was stolen, and secondly, he just got finished counting it, so he realizes everything is there, therefore it's completely in the owner's reshus, and if something new happens, the owner is chayiv and not the gazlan. Mishnah Tes. Ein loichin min horoyin tsemer v'chol v'gdim. Not let a boy from a shepherd, you can't buy from him not wool, and not milk, and not goats. Because we have to be afraid, maybe he stole it from the original owner. Therefore, he cannot buy from a shepherd. V'loy mishomrei peiros, eitzim u'peiros, you can't buy from a watchman, somebody's watching somebody else's fruits, you can't buy off the watchman fruits or eight or wood. Again, we have to be afraid, maybe it's stolen goods. Avoloichim and hanoshim, but you're allowed to buy from ladies, klei tzem of Yehuda. You're allowed to buy woolen clothing in Yehuda. Because that's the dera, that's the meaning that the noshim make their own clothing. So therefore you could buy it off them, they for sure made it. Uklei pishtim begolol, the same thing in golol, there the meaning was the ladies used to make flax clothing. So therefore you're allowed to buy the flax off a lady. V'yagolim ba'sharon. You're allowed to buy calves in Sharon. That was the meaning there, that in this place the Noshim, the ladies, used to raise their own agolim, their own calves. Therefore you're allowed to buy it from them. But the Chulin Sharon, in any case, where they said lahatamin osa. In other words, in these last three cases, if a lady is selling the tzema, the wool in Yehuda, or in Golan she's selling the pishtin or the golem in Sharon, if she tells the boy, listen, hide it, don't show it to anybody, then also, then it's also, because then we're afraid, she's selling you stolen goods. V'loichim beitzim v'tanagirlim mikomokim. We're allowed to buy eggs and chickens any place. Because we're not afraid they're stolen goods. This is a normal for people to have their own. But again, if the seller tells you, hide them, don't show anybody, then again, we're afraid it's stolen goods, it would be also.
Mishne Yud, Muchin Shehakoyves Moitzi. Let's say somebody gives his clothing to a washer to wash his clothing, and some threads come out. So Lochariz Harelu Shaloi. These threads that come out, Bishat the time when the washman is washing the clothing, he has the right to keep it. It's a small amount. The owner is not Makba, doesn't care about those threads. But Bishahasirik, the person that combs out the wool, might see what comes out, the threads that come out when you comb it, then Harayelu Shabalabais, that still belongs to the owner. Since a lot of threads come out then, the Balabas is Makbar, it still belongs to him. HaKoyves Noitein Shloisha Chutin Vein Shaloi. The Koyves, the washman, he's allowed to take out three threads and he could keep it. But yes, and Mikan, if more than three threads come out when he's washing it, then Harayelu Shabalabais. Then we say the Balabas is Makbar, he wants those threads, you have to return it to the owner of the cloth. Let's say there's extra threads that are coming out, the black ones, which really the whole clothing is white. So as we, these black threads do not look nice anyway, then the kibbutz, the washman, has the right to remove all these black threads, and they belong to him, because it does not look nice on the clothing, so the balabos is not makbet if you take it. Now, hachayit, let's say you give some material to a weaver to weave something for you. Shashir menachut kre litvaboy. If it leaves over the string enough to still sew more. I think the Gemara says that the loshen of kapul shel hamachet, double amount of the needle. If that much is left over, so you have to return it to the owner. Umat leshishol sholosh hasholosh. For us, if you give him clothing to make, to weave something, and it's left over a piece of cloth, which is 3 by 3, it's boys. Harielu shemalabais. In these two cases, the balabas is mak, but he wants it back. You have to return it to him. It still belongs to the owner. Now, ma shehachorish moitzi b'matzah. You have a carpenter working by you, and he's planing the wood. He's like smoothing out the wood. So what comes out from the plane, harelu shaloi. That the workman has the right to keep. It's a small amount. The owner doesn't care about it, so the workman could keep it. Uva kashil. Let's say what comes out from the hatchet, or from the saw that he's using, then Shabalabais, there are bigger pieces come out of wood, those still belong to the balabas. In other words, where the balabas gave the wood to the chorich, to the carpenter, to make things, so these things, since it's a large amount, the owner is still not, but he wants it back, therefore the workman cannot keep it, but he has to return it to the balabais. V'mohoye oise, eitzo balabais. Let's say the carpenter was working by the owner's house, then af hanasera shabalabais. Even the sawdust, the small sawdust that comes out from the sawing, also belongs to the balabais. Since it's taking place in his house, what's in his house is makbarakach, he wants it, it all belongs to the balabais. Alright, Slikim, Masechta Bava Kama, we'll stop here.